Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today, I have a very important show on, one that people need to listen to because it involves all of us. If you have a cell phone, if you have the Wi-Fi, if you are interested in learning more about 5G, this topic today is going to be very timely. And today we're going to speak with, in my opinion, somebody who knows what they're talking about and who's written extensively on the topic, is an author, has a website, and somebody who's done the due diligence. I think we do a lot of things in our society now where you just listen to TV or someone tells you from top down, you just go along with it without doing your own due diligence. And it's, for me, I think the most important thing is about knowledge. You can't make a decision if you don't know all of the information. And today we're going to hear the other side of electromagnetic radiation or EMF frequency and what that means to the body. So today I wanted to welcome Mr. Lloyd Burrell. And just a brief synopsis, he's basically been on a mission to raise awareness about the dangers of electromagnetic fields from cell phones and similar devices and share those solutions. He's the founder of the website electricsense.com and the creator of the EMF Health Summit, which introduced EMFs to an audience of over 200,000 people. He's a regular speaker at international and online events, podcasts, radio shows, and hosts his own bi-monthly EMF Health podcast. He's the author of two e-books on EMFs. His latest book, EMF Practical Guide, is available in all good bookshops. And today, Mr. Burrell, I want to thank you so much for coming on. I know you're a busy man. I know you're speaking and hosting your own podcast. So I want to thank you for spending time with me and my listeners.
Pleasure, Dr. George. But just call me Lloyd. That's fine. Just call me Lloyd.
Oh, well, Lloyd, call me Elena. So Okay. We're friends now, eh? So let's start from the beginning. What guided your passion on writing about EMF?
It's quite simply that one day I got sick. One day I answered my cell phone. This was 2002. And I had this really strange reaction, didn't know quite what was going on. And in a very short period of time, it went from strange to unpleasant to unbearable. And I mean, literally, in the space of a few calls, in fact, in the space of one call, I didn't know what had hit me. I knew there was something funny, just not something that I've never really quite felt experienced before. And I was running a rental business, and more phone calls came in, and I answered. And people say to me, "Well, how did you know it was your phone?" And I said, "Well, pain, you know, a phone next to the ear, pain, phone away, no pain." And it was a searing pain. It was extreme pain. It was like somebody was pointing a laser at the side of my head where I was holding the phone. And so I got all these immediate symptoms, prickly skin, tingling and sensation in the head. So these immediate symptoms around the head. And then I got these kind of longer term symptoms. And I've told this story many times to many doctors. And I say jokingly, it got so bad, I actually went to see my doctor. And so this was in 2002. And my doctor sent me to a whole load of other doctors, specialists. And basically nobody could find out what was wrong with me. And in fact, some of them poo-pooed it, you know, the whole thing about the cell phone, and really wasn't very kind at all. And that was all part of it. And I just pretended really for 2 years that I was fine, and it got worse and worse and worse. And fortunately, one day I read an article in the Daily Telegraph, which is quite a serious newspaper in the UK, and talked about this guy, CEO of a big food group, who couldn't use his cell phone, couldn't use his computer, dictating everything to his secretary, running around in a clapped out old car, and couldn't even sleep with the electricity on at night. And they gave a name to this. It was electrical sensitivity. And I was like, "Whoa, I'm not going crazy," because literally I thought I was going crazy. And so this was the initial kind of awakening of this, and acceptance that there was something going on, and maybe it was not a problem with me, and that I later realized that it wasn't really a problem at all, so to speak. It was more to do with the nature of these frequencies. And so, you know, just to clarify, it wasn't just the cell phone. It was, I was reacting to everything. I was reacting to the computer, the TV, the radio in the car. I wasn't well at home. I wasn't well when I went out. It was, you know, my life was a living hell. And that's how I started with this whole thing. Thankfully today, I am no longer symptomatic. So I do occasionally still feel when somebody's streaming or something like that close to me. But, you know, so many people feel these devices, not just cell phones, but other devices too, and don't pay any attention to it. And so many people think that these technologies are safe. And I began to explore the research and I realized they're not. They're impacting everybody. And really, that's the message. That's perhaps the most important message I share, is for people to understand that it's not because you can't feel anything that it's not impacting your health. And again, this is science. This is this serious peer-reviewed science on this, a lot of it, decades of it.
It's interesting. You talk here in the States, there's been the congressman have had various people come up on Capitol Hill and they say the exact opposite, which makes me really question who stands to gain and who has the ear of the powers that be. Because they're like, oh, the science isn't settled. We don't know. It's all conjecture. And there are people like yourself, you know, victims of this, who their voices need to be heard. This should have been a no-brainer ages ago. We shouldn't even have to be in a situation where they're just amping, you know, ramping this up and upping the ante without any real breaks on it. So when we're talking 5G now, you know, we've gone from 2G up to 5G, whatever, LTE. In your opinion, is that going to exacerbate the strength of this EMF that's coming online? Is that something that people need to be concerned about?
It is going to exacerbate, and people should be aware of what's going on here. And I'm not trying to scaremonger. You know, people just need to know the facts. And So I tell my story, and then I encourage people to explore this, you know, to really... So there's my website, but there's other good sources. For instance, Environmental Health Trust, for instance. There are a few good websites out there where they're sharing this information. And the problem is people cannot get access to this information like they could even a year or so ago, because so many websites are censored, like my own website, censored on Google, censored on Facebook. My book has been censored on Amazon. So there is clearly, and this is not, so that is new, but this whole censorship, you know, it's been going on like ever since, you know, time immortal. I mean, back to the 1950s, the military were censoring the work of Dr. Milton Zarratt, who was an ophthalmologist who realized that radar operators were getting cataracts. And, you know, they said, no, don't do any more research on that. And all that, you know, it's all there. It's all there documented. What's going on now is a continuation of what's been going on for a long time, except it's, you know, as you mentioned there, the 4G LTE and the 5G, we're just taking it to another level. So people need to be aware of what's going on, and yeah, cause for concern. And again, I really don't like, the world. I'm not trying to make people concerned. I'm just trying to make them aware. If you look at the studies, if you get some, you know, if you really delve into this, then there is serious cause for concern. But that's for you to decide.
Well, I think people need to take responsibility for their health, and it's not someone telling you. Have to actually put the work in. On that note, let's take our first break and come back. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Mr. Lloyd Burrell, the author of his latest ebook, EMF Practical Guide, and the owner of the website www.electricsense.com. And before the break, we were speaking about personal responsibility. I don't believe in fear, right? Fear is something that's unknown because you don't have enough information. That's what drives fear. If you are an informed consumer, an informed human being on this earth, you're less likely to be afraid. So I think that people use that to shut people like yourself down, because it's the folks who are uninformed who buy into that. I want to know personally what I'm putting in my body, what's around my body, because I'm interested in staying healthy. And it doesn't mean, as you said before, it's not about not ever using these instruments, but knowing what the effects are so you can use them in a safe manner. Is that a better way to put it?
Yeah, because then there are those that would disagree with me and said, no, burn the cell towers and, you know, the cell phone, we're going to bring down the cell phone industry and so on. But realistically, that's not going to happen, because these devices are truly amazing, and amazing engineering feat, frankly. And really, how our whole economies now are based on, you know, the tremendous revenue generators. Because every time there's a new cellular technology which is brought out, which is what 5G is, then there's a whole bunch of licenses which are sold off for billions, you know, around the world, in every country, billions all around the world. And so this is super important, because, you know, governments are short of cash now more than ever. So it's this technology is here to stay. So it's about how you use this technology. That's what's important. And it might seem as though there's not a lot you can do, or, well, you know, in any case, my neighbor's got Wi-Fi, so what the heck, you know, kind of thing. But I implore people to not be defeatist. There is a lot you can do, and particularly with this topic of EMF. So let's just be clear on what that is. When I say EMFs, I mean electromagnetic fields, these man-made frequencies from so many different devices, and it's not even just wireless. So we are talking about this, thankfully, due to 5G, so that we can be thankful for that. There is more talk of this, but it's not just the wireless. So wireless is, when we say wireless, we actually mean radio frequency microwave radiation. That's what it really is. You'll never hear them say that, but that's what it really is. Microwave radiation, radio frequency microwave radiation. Yes, just like your microwave oven. Your microwave oven works at 2.4 gigahertz. For instance, Wi-Fi, most Wi-Fi works at 2.4 gigahertz, 2.4 billion cycles a second. Does that sound healthy? No. It's probably, according to certain experts, it's probably the most biologically active frequency there is, the worst frequency they could have chose to do this. Lord knows why they chose this frequency. So we have these wireless exposures, these radio frequency microwave radiation, which goes under a whole load of names. So there is some people call it cell phone radiation, and other people will call it, you know, Bluetooth is another form of that. Smart is another word for that. Wireless is another word for that. But all that actually means radio frequency radiation. So that's one kind of exposure, one category. And then another category is the wired exposures. Wired, yes, from wires. And few people talk about this, in this whole EMF debate. It's often forgotten. But even the electrical wiring in your home. And now you're thinking, well, wow, that's just going too far now. I can't believe this is dangerous too. But it's true. We've got studies going back to the 1970s which show that there's a correlation between notably magnetic fields from electrical wiring and leukemia. And also we have what's called dirty electricity, which emanates off the wire. A number of studies on that too. A great book on that written by Dr. Sam Milham called Dirty Electricity. So there's so many really different kinds of exposures, but these two broad categories, and that's what people need to understand, wireless and wired, and there are solutions for both, thankfully.
Well, I want to dig just a little bit deeper into the biologically active side of this so people can really understand that. So every cell in the body is energy, and it's like a battery, and this energy coming through, whether it's wired or not, Wi-Fi radiation, EMF, it can actually disturb the cellular structure. Is that one way to see it?
Yeah, so we're subtle energy beings. Actually, our bodies, because when you go to the doctors, they give you, tend to give you, we think in terms of surgery and pills, which are chemicals. But actually, above all of that is like an energy system where, you know, our bodies are an energy system. There's a brilliant book on this by Dr. Robert Becker, former Nobel Prize nominee, called The Body Electric. So the name gives it all away. Yeah, we are electromagnetic beings. You know, our nerves are, it's all about electrical pulses. But even our cells, the intracellular, extracellular communication, it's all about EMFs, electromagnetic field. There's a voltage difference. This voltage difference is super important. Yeah, it is due to these chemical ions. What are ions? They're charged particles. So it's about energy. So we are energy beings. It's not difficult, really. It's not rocket science. And so when you throw this man-made, pulsed, modulated radio frequency radiation and all these different frequencies from the wires, and there is a crossover between the wireless and the wired even. It's not like I've just described it in that way, but actually the electrical wiring in your home, in your office, is acting in many respects as an antenna for this this electro smog, which is everywhere from cell towers, Wi-Fi, etc. And being as we are literally walking antennas, that's to say our spinal cord, our limbs, even down to our DNA, we've got studies which are showing that our DNA is actually a fractal antenna, and that the DNA is getting information from an external field. We've got hard science behind this, the biofield. You know, I was talking to Dr. Beverly Rubik, and this goes back to 1994 that she submitted this to the National Institutes of Health. But people don't talk about this. We're in this world where we talk about chemicals and surgery and stuff, and energy seems to be forgotten. But this is what's behind all this, and this why is such a problem, potentially massive problem for our energy systems. We are subtle energy beings.
I think you did a wonderful job of explaining that. And now when you think about the setup for 5G and the fact that they have to have these antennas so close to people, but you know, before it's kind of removed, you know, you're not as close to a cell tower. They literally have to put them within, you know, I wouldn't say feet, but definitely close. Like it's a network surrounding you. And that just amps up the amount of radiation that the body's exposed to, doesn't it?
It does. And that's the whole point. That is exactly it. It's this cumulative effect. It's this that's really the key. And you're fine, like me. And then one day you're not fine. And maybe you're not going to be electrically hypersensitive, because, you know, electrical hypersensitivity, that's just a label. But really, I got a collection of symptoms, and other people get another collection of symptoms, and we'll call that another disease, cancer, leukemia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's. It's all there. The links between these exposures and a long list of diseases is all there, and these adverse biological effects, because it's how it impacts the cells. So it is this cumulative effect, and that is the problem. And it's not just EMFs that are the problem, of course. It's EMFs and all the other garbage that we're submitting ourselves to day in, day out, you know, in the food that we eat, in the chemicals. You know, we wash our hair, we put the soaps on our skin with all these chemicals, the chemicals in the air, in the atmosphere, and so on and so forth. And it's a synergistic effect of all of this. And I like to call EMFs, or consider them, as a super toxin. That's to say, you've got, you know, 2 + 2 normally equals 4, but you throw EMFs into the equation and you've got this exponential effect where 2 + 2 equals actually 100 or 1,000 or even 10,000.
You know what really irritates me is there. You just described a physiologic, biologic effect of this, and people are sitting here, scientists. Oh, it doesn't matter. You should just ignore that. But when you really look at this and the disease patterns in our among human beings, we're on more medication, but we're sicker, and we're getting sicker younger. And what's the thing that usually ties to this? It's bathing in. With your cell phone, or you're on some TikTok, or wherever you're on, you're constantly being inundated. People going to bed with their laptop in their bed with them on, you know, or their night table. Their phone is never off. So you don't get downtime with this. And I'm curious to know, and if you can speak to the difference between EMFs. Are children more sensitive to EMF than an adult? Is there any consequence for children really being raised on these iPads?
Unfortunately, yes. And that's the whole reason I started talking about this back in 2009 online, because I got two kids. And when I started reading the studies, I was horrified. And we've got studies leading back to mid-90s, 1995, 1996, by Gandhi, who did some brilliant research on this. And it's peer-reviewed, so there's other people that have, you know, followed in his footsteps since. And it shows that just children are way more vulnerable to these exposures. And so that is, honestly, it's really, for me, I find it horrifying, because already for adults, it's bad news. But for children, it's particularly bad news, you know. Children are not like small adults. Their bodies aren't formed. Their immune systems aren't fully functional. And they don't have the protection like with a cell phone. The thickness of the skull is less. There's just a whole load of parameters which mean that children really should not be using a cell phone at all. And sadly, many children, you know, are just, they're like, the cell phones are joined to the hip, and there the number of times I've heard of children that sleep with their cell phone under their pillow. I mean, it's I must be getting old, I guess. I don't know, but for me, it's just beyond me. It's just frankly beyond me, and parents need to know this, because it's you know, it really is. I think, you know, it's a shocking state of affairs, and it's not even just the children. You know, it's how it's impacting embryos and in terms of fertility and this whole really the future of the human race, we can say, because that is one of the areas. So, you know, as I said, EMFs impact our bodies in so many ways, and there's so much science leading to so many diseases. But there, where there is the most the hardest science, really, is in terms of how it impacts infertility, how it's creating this, contributing to this problem of infertility, which is a worldwide phenomena.
Agreed. And there's a study I remember reading about the sperm count dropping with men who have their cell phones in their pockets. So this is not a benign thing. This has far-reaching consequences, and you need to be mindful about what you're doing. Again, just to reiterate, it's not like you can't use them or don't use them, but use them in a thoughtful manner so that you can protect yourself and your family. On that note, let's take our second break. You're Living in the Solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Mr. Burrell, and you know, I think you did, a wonderful job of clearly laying out the consequences of EMF and children versus adult, and things that are very subtle that you won't know for years whether or not it's an issue. And having people put their cell phones in their pockets or put them in their bra, a lot of people think of them as nothing, but they're really little radiation emitters. Tiny radiation emitters. And you wouldn't think twice of standing in front of, I don't stand in front of my microwave. I don't even use the microwave very much anymore. But if I do, I'm not in the room with it because I understand that there's an issue. What about things like smart meters, which have been a major deployment to save, you know, energy? Are those safe?
So, you know, smart meters came onto the scene, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. And there was a lot of people that were protesting at the time. And sort of that whole smart meter thing has got replaced by what's going on now with the 5G, you know, in terms of the protest against that, the movement against that. Yeah, smart meters are an issue. And, you know, unfortunately, they're pretty much... It's like a done thing, pretty much. I don't know where you live, if that's the case, but I don't have a smart meter. Of course, I said no, but most people just don't know. And yeah, there are issues, and it depends how it works. But again, we're back to the radio frequency microwave radiation. That's one. That's how many of them work. So they're just emitting this radiation all the time. And honestly, there's something about this smart meter radiation that seems to impact people more than a cell phone, even certain people in any case. And so that's one way they work, or they can transmit data back. So when we say smart meter, sorry, I should just be clarifying. What we mean is these utility meters, wireless utility meters, which are able to communicate with the utility company. So we don't have to have the utility guy or gal come out and do the reading. So that we've got the wireless form of communication or the wired. So it's back to really what I was saying before. And with the wired, well, how does it do it? Well, it sends data down the line. What does that do? It creates electrical pollution, unfortunately, on the line. So it is a problem, and again we're back to this cumulative problem, and so there is a solution for that, and I think we should really be addressing solutions for the listeners soon here, because you know there are solutions really for pretty much all of this, but the solutions with smart meters is to say no, is to opt out if you can. And if you cannot say no, and sadly, often saying no does mean you have to pay more. So that is highway robbery, but it is what it is. And then if you cannot opt out, then it would be to install a smart meter shield if it is emitting radio frequency radiation. And I've got information on that on my website, for instance. It's not particularly difficult to do.
What do you think about Faraday cages for your phone?
So it's the same principle with the Faraday cages, yeah, for the smart meters. So, but so with the cell phones, the so we're not actually looking at a Faraday cage. So with a smart meter, it's like we're looking to create a sealed enclosure, or we're looking to at least shield one side. And with a phone, we're only ever shielding one side. Certainly for these kinds of phones, like Pong, like Cross, these cases which we can buy, which actually direct the radiation in a, put it in a certain direction away from you. That's how they work. But really, you know, the safest thing, and I think this is the key thing really here to talk about here today, is cell phones. Firstly, in any case, is you know, what can we do to make our cell phone safer? Well, the first thing is only use your cell phone in emergency. I know that's perhaps not what you want to hear, but it's the truth. And you never, ever want to be putting that phone to your head. Because why? Because distance is your friend. You want to be keeping that phone away from as far away from you as possible. And how can you do that? Well, there's several ways you can do that. You can use speakerphone. So that's not always possible because you don't want everybody to overhear what you're saying. Or you can use airplane mode. You want to be careful that you deactivate the Wi-Fi, the Bluetooth, and the cellular function. So it's not that easy to do. It means you have to go into the settings, and it's like you have to kind of practice to do this. And once you get the hang of it, it doesn't take long. But that's what you want to be doing, deactivating all wireless functionality. And you should never have that phone on you when you've got wireless functionality activated. And you know, we can see this, how it impacts the body through thermal imaging. You know, it's not like it's not something that scientists are making up here. You know, it's really easy to measure. And these are low level, but don't think that, you know, and that's what industry says, oh, they're low level, therefore, you know, it's fine. Low level, low power, and it's fine. It is low level, low power, but it's not fine. It's because it's this continuous, non-natural radiation which we're being exposed to 24/7, and the complexity of this signal, which is like nothing else in nature. It's totally unnatural, and that is the problem. So in terms of a cell phone, obviously my advice is cell phones are not for children. That's a definite no-no. And for adults, if you are using a cell phone, only to be using it when you've got like maximum bars, because those things are really, the technology is just unbelievable. And literally a cell phone can ramp up its power by over 1 million times between the lowest, you know, when you've got a really strong signal and it's having to really work hard because the cell tower's a long way away, or you're in a place, a parked car or a moving car, heaven forbid, don't use cell phone in a moving car. So you want to always have the 5 bars. Another tip is text, don't talk. That doesn't mean you can text willy-nilly to your heart's content, because that's not good either. And I've got no science on this, but the number of people that have written to me about this, I've got friends that have told me about this, how they're experiencing pain, tingling sensation in the hand where they use the cell phone to text. So those are some quick tips. And there are more tips, but those are some very quick tips just for using a cell phone.
I think in extrapolating from what you said, then you really shouldn't get these cars with the Wi-Fi integrated in the car like it's something really cool. You're basically in a box with Wi-Fi trapped in it, sounds like, from what you just said.
So it's back to the Faraday cage, what you were just saying, but going like the wrong way, it's like you're trapped in that Faraday cage. So if you have, a Faraday cage is great, but you don't want any microwave radiation emitting device in there when you're in that Faraday cage. Otherwise, what happens? Well, it's like being in a microwave oven, and that's what a car is. So you've got the windows, but even then, a lot of these windows, they've got special treatments for the sun and things, and they keep in the radiation or some of it. In a car, it's a definite no-no, particularly a moving car, but even a parked car, because the phone's having to work harder and it's emitting more radiation, quite simply.
My God, that's really crazy. I mean, that just ramps up your exposure. It just jacks it up. I don't even think about it. And most people think it's a great thing. They hype it on TV as if it's a great feature of a car. And some unsuspecting person and their family are getting extreme exposure. What do you think about the Wi-Fi in schools? Because that was another thing that's gone on where the schools are wired. The kids are on computers all day. We wrote things down. We took notes. It was all by the chalkboard. You know, that's not what's going on now. These kids have a laptop in front of them. They're on their games afterwards. I mean, this is an extreme exposure too, wouldn't you think?
It's totally irresponsible. That's what I think. We are inflicting this radio frequency microwave radiation, which thousands of studies show that there are innumerable adverse effects to our cells, to our DNA, to our mitochondria, to the enzymes in our bodies, and these links with disease. And yet we're inflicting this 24 hour, certainly anyway, not 24 hours when they're in school, but this continuous exposure. You know, there's a very sad story of a schoolgirl, Jenny Fry in the UK, who was became sensitized to EMFs. Okay. She could feel it like me. And she got taken to one side by the teachers, made to do detention because she wasn't following her lessons and stuff. And this 15-year-old schoolgirl from Oxford actually took her own life. She hung herself in the local woods. And there was an inquest. And at the inquest, the parents, or after the inquest, the parents were asked, you know, what do you think caused your child's death? And they said, Wi-Fi. The Wi-Fi at school. So this is just totally irresponsible. We've got all this science behind this, behind the dangers of Wi-Fi, and here we are, you know, spending money installing superpower Wi-Fi, giving kids laptops, etc., and just really going in totally the wrong direction on this.
Well, let's take a break and think about this, and just, it's sad that we're inflicting this on the people who can least protect themselves. On that note, let's take our last break. You're Living in the Solution. Welcome back to Living in the Solution. We're speaking with Mr. Lloyd Burrell. Again, he has a website, electricsense.com, and he's also an author. His most recent ebook is EMF Practical Guide. And before the break, he gave a very, very tragic story of what Wi-Fi can do to the mindset of children. Do you think that things like depression and ADHD and anxiety are also things that can manifest because of exposure?
Yes. It's not only I think it, there's studies behind this. you know, studies about people living within 300 meters or so of a cell tower, and how this is creating anxiety and depression, and exactly the mechanism of how this works. So it's not just, in my opinion, is it possible? It is possible, and it is happening. We've got science showing this is happening, and that's not to mention screen time and all the. So there's, you know, there's the EMF problem, and then there's what goes with that EMF problem, the kind of peer pressure, and, you know, the whole kind of Facebook thing and Instagram and all the rest of it, and, you know, trying to keeping up with the Joneses and all this kind of thing, which I think it's really hard for young people today with the cell phones. So it's like they need a cell phone, but it's just this world, this kind of really artificial world. They feel they need a cell phone to be part of something which is actually, it doesn't really exist. And, you know, everybody's kind of trying in a race to be something they're not. So, yeah, it is a problem, and it's a particular concern. Again, for me, this is the biggest concern. It's for our children. It's for the future generations.
Well, now that people, I mean, anybody listening to the show, I'm sure is their minds are being opened by this conversation. And I'd say 99% of us have these in our homes. Aside from putting a shield up or getting a specialized covering for your phone, I actually want you to tell us again what that is in a second. What do we do with the Wi-Fi box? How do you recommend that people, there's something called Shungite, which people need to know about. I've actually gotten some for my home and things I put along places to try to block the EMF. What do you think about doing things like that?
So, you know, there's a world of solutions out there, and Shungite is one of them. And I actually wear a Shungite. It's kind of super powered Shungite, if you want. And it's a natural solution. Shungite, by the way, so it's a natural mineral, which is very high in fullerenes, which is quite unique, which supposedly came from a... it actually comes from Russia, a place in Russia, and it's got these special properties, so that is one solution, certainly. But I don't really, before, there's something to do before that, and the thing to do before that is really just some very simple EMF protection avoidance, classic EMF protection avoidance, and that is, you know, for instance, with a Wi-Fi, it's really simple. Actually, mostly in people's homes, in any case, for your Wi-Fi, you've got total control. And what you do is you switch it off. You switch it off at night. And okay, it is a bit of a bind to go and switch it off at night. So what do? You can buy a little mechanical timer, and I got this idea one Christmas with the Christmas tree lights. So we use this timer to switch the Christmas tree lights off at night. And I put that on the modem, and that's how I got the idea. So you have this, so it automatically switches off. It costs like $10. You don't have to go into the settings or worry about, you know, how it's going to go back to default, for instance, if you do use the settings. So that's why I recommend not using the settings and having one of these timers. So that's a really simple way. And then there's some more advanced solutions. For instance, there's a company in Holland, and actually he's an electrical engineer, PhD, and he devised a solution, a low EMF solution for Wi-Fi for his kids, because he was horrified by what was happening with his kids. So he just set about creating this low EMF solution. So that's another, if you want to invest in this, which I honestly recommend you do. And something else I recommend really as you begin to explore this is to get yourself an EMF meter, because at some point you need to be able to measure these exposures. Otherwise, you're completely in the dark. So buying an EMF meter, something like the Trifield TF2, T for Tommy, F for Freddy, 2, number 2. There's a review on my website. You can see how it works. It's a really simple meter, consumer-level meter, not terribly expensive. And that is really, I highly recommend that at some point. Every home should have a meter, because every home is full of these really potentially lethal frequencies now.
And for those who have, let's say, one of those cell towers pretty close to their home, How can they block that? How can they make their home safer?
So I have a protocol. It's very simple for dealing with all of this. It's called the So the first thing is to understand. That's what you're doing now. You're listening to me. You're listening to Dr. Elena here, trying to understand this. The second thing is to measure. That's what I was saying with the EMF meter. The third thing is to mitigate. And there's three ways of mitigating. Turn off, which you can't do with a cell tower. Increase the distance. You can't do that with a cell tower. And the third one is to shield. And what's the golden rule with shielding? It's always to measure first. So always going back to this measuring. So it's like people, when they think, you know, they want to deal with something like a cell tower, first thing is to measure. Is it a problem, the cell tower? It's not because you're living proximity to a cell tower that is necessarily a problem. There is a fair amount of guesswork you can do about this, but that's all it is, guesswork. And neither me nor anybody else could say if it's dangerous or not until we've actually got some levels. So that's what I recommend, is to measure, and then you can shield. And there's lots of ways of shielding. We do it bit by bit, stage by stage, and we shield a bit, we measure again, we shield a bit, and is it getting better? Have we made it worse? And it's not that difficult, but there is a protocol, so to speak. You know, there is a method if you want to follow. Otherwise, you can actually, by shielding, you can make things worse. So that's why, for me, and I'm glad we're talking about this at the end of the conversation, because it's always a last resort. It's what you really do if you have to do.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. And from the standpoint of, I think you answered the question, but I just want to repeat for people who, it's about real time and solutions. If you're carrying a cell phone, it's better off that you keep it in the airplane mode or completely off. Is that until you need it? Is that what the best way to handle this?
It is. It is.
Okay.
Completely off, away from the body, preferably, because those things have got a battery. And we're back to the subtle energy thing. We don't think about this because it's not really talked about. And I'm actually doing a whole summit on this, talking about the EMFs and talking about this biofield and the quantum field, even, which we're all part of. Because it seems all kind of a bit mystical and woo-woo, but there's a lot of hard science behind it, which is not being talked about, which people don't know. We want really, it's a disconnect, reconnect. Yeah. So it's disconnecting with all this modern technology as much as possible. As much as we can. For instance, before I came to talk to you, what did I do? I went out in the garden in the sun a bit, just a few minutes. And that's a reconnect. And I could have sat here and tried to do some sort of meditation or something, but you just go outside barefoot. Wow. What a reconnect. Mm-hmm. What a powerful reconnect. And boom, that energizes you. So it's about harnessing the healing power of nature and protecting yourself in really some rather simple ways from these very potentially detrimental EMFs.
Well, I like to put just a practical medical spin on what you just described. Getting light therapy, getting vitamin D, great antioxidant, a great immune booster. You're actually doing something to counter the negativity that you're exposed to when you're using these instruments. And speaking of natural health, do you recommend that people take supplements? I would think antioxidants would be extremely important, things like glutathione, even something like nanocarbon, which has fullerenes in it. These are things that people can actually physically do and take in order to, from a cellular level, replete and reset themselves.
Well, curiously, I take no supplements at all, but I don't advise that for everybody. I do a lot of muscle testing, so I can test everything. A little bit woo woo, but it's very scientific. Kinesiology, there's a whole science. It's taught in certain medical schools around the world. And I actually no longer need any supplements. Rarely do I take supplements apart from if I travel by plane somewhere. What I really recommend, and I'm not saying don't take supplements, I'm saying really what you need is you need somebody to help you with that. So maybe some lab tests or the muscle testing, get somebody to do that, or if you can do it on yourself. But you need some kind of feedback, some kind of understanding of what's going on in your body. And what's really important is nutrition, super important. So I'm not symptomatic anymore. I don't take any supplements. But boy, am I careful about what I eat and drink. Does that mean I don't drink alcohol? No, I do drink alcohol. I'm not alcoholic, but I really try and enjoy my food, enjoy really good quality food. And there's a whole conversation to be had on that, really. But it's really a holistic approach. That's the thing here. It's not just EMFs again, but it's integrating EMFs, this EMF question, into a holistic approach for health.
Well, can you tell us how people can find out more about your summit? Because that seems like a wealth of information and you can just sit back and just absorb it. What is that and when is it?
So the summit is from the 1st of September. So promotion starts the 1st of September. The summit is actually from the 22nd of September until the 28th. I've got 50 speakers from around the world, scientists, medical doctors, healers, building biologists, researchers. And honestly, I'm really very excited. I did a summit in 2018 on EMFs, and I wanted to sort of go in a little a different direction, follow my heart, which is really what I've been doing ever since I started on talking about EMFs online. And this is the information I feel people need to know now, because the world is, we're in a really strange place and people are thinking there are no solutions, and yet there are so many. And it doesn't have to be all pills and potions. And energy medicine, I think, is the future of medicine. And there's a lot of information which, again, is being is being smothered, is being censored, you know. And that's it. So it's called a Healing with Vibration Summit. Honestly, the best way at the moment, so it's still germinating, all of this, but it will be online. So the best at the moment, the best thing is to go to my website, electricsense.com, and I will be making announcements in the coming weeks about this. So it's really hot off the presses, because I've not really spoken to anybody too much about this, just in a few interviews here and there, but there's nothing actually online yet for this. So it's Healing with Vibration, so I'm really excited about this.
Oh, I'm excited too. I really firmly firm believer in energy medicine, and I do it myself. And I go to a practitioner, so I can speak to it as well. It's real. And how can people get your book?
So people can get my book. You know, so I'll be perfectly honest. The cheapest way to get my book is to go to Amazon. I don't really like promoting Amazon, because they don't, as I say, they've censored me. But what I really encourage people to do is to support what I'm doing and go to my website, electricsense.com. And it's actually, there's a digital version, which is no more expensive than the physical version on Amazon. But you do actually get a lot of goodies, and you can actually buy the physical version with, and there's some of the ebooks and things and videos and the whole package thrown in there. So it's not just like buying a book. So that's what I recommend people to do, to really, it's about beginning a journey here. If this is the first time you've heard about this EMF, cell phone radiation, or maybe you've heard about it before, but you're thinking, well, now's the time, I want to do something. Yeah, go to my website, electricsense.com, and just firstly, just subscribe, get the free report, and just, you know, make your own mind up about this.
Knowledge is power.
Yeah.
The time is always too short. I'm so happy I got a chance to have our conversation. I'm going to do my own, you know, due diligence and go to your website and get this information, because if we're informed consumers, then we'll stay healthy. And that's getting our power and keeping it.
Yeah.
I want to thank you so much for joining me, and thank you for spending time. And you're welcome to come back anytime. I'd love to find out anything new that you have out there. So thank you so much. And thank you, everybody, for living in the solution.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.